Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago with a live studio audience. Wow, off the charts. That was an exciting live studio audience, everyone. All right. That was pretty funny. Okay, finals are over in high school, so we got a bigger crowd than usual. All right, so everyone, please like and subscribe. We're getting great feedback. Please send me your feedback. Keep it coming. Share this podcast. Think of one or two wonderful people who would benefit from it and share it. All right. We're opening up with a Mazel Tov, an incredible Mazel Tov to Dusty and Amy Eber, grandparents Lenny and Diane Eber, and Alan and Susan Klein in the marriage of their grandson, son and grandson, Jonah Eber to Gabby Casper. Oh my goodness, 36 years ago, Dusty and I were freshmen in high school. You can do the math. I already did a podcast about turning 50, so that's okay. Yes, 36 years ago, freshman in high school, we have shared our Jewish journey together very, very much, and it was just absolutely an incredible privilege to be at that chasana, at that wedding. And I have to tell you, I was sitting in the back of the room, actually it was outdoors, gorgeous chuppah, an absolutely beautiful venue in New York. And I was sitting with some wonderful people, not observant Jews, not Orthodox Jews, you know. And we were schmoozing, I was doing my play-by-play, you know, I always wanted to be a sports announcer, so I do play-by-play by the wedding. Anyway, they said to me, Rabbi, we have never experienced anything like this. This is the most beautiful, incredible spiritual ceremony we have ever seen. And the most rocking ceremony that I've ever seen, with the dancing and the incredible spirit. If any of you have never yet been to an Orthodox wedding, please go. When I officiate, I make the following announcement. We have good news and we have bad news. Good news is, this is going to be the best wedding you've ever attended. The bad news is, every wedding going forward from this will be pretty boring. All right. So anyway, yes, Torah does it right. Life cycles, etc. Torah does it right. It was such a special, special event. And we wish Mazel Tov to Jonah and Gabby for a life together of health and happiness and building a beautiful Jewish family. And, you know, there's a lot of gloom and doom when it comes to looking at the statistics of the future of America Jewish community. But you see this beautiful, talented young couple who are totally all in to Judaism and to building a Jewish home. And boy, oh boy, the future is bright. What a Kiddush Hashem, sanctification of God's name, and blessings to you. All right. Now, the story that you couldn't make up if I tried. Like, you know, if the rabbi who has a little bit of inclination towards sports and obviously Torah, if I could write this story, if I could have thought of this story, I would have written it, but I couldn't. You know, it was incredible. So I was minding my business Thursday night, bleary-eyed, right before I went to bed, just checking the headlines, you know, emergency late-night headlines on ESPN, just to make sure that nothing happened that, you know, obviously I needed to know before I went to bed. And there it was. The sideline headline, not the headline, but, you know, you go on ESPN on the right-hand side, there's a bunch of articles over there. One of them was, Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl ring has 613 diamonds. And I thought to myself, you have got to be kidding me. 613, how unrandom is that? How, like, if you tried to pick a better number, you could not have picked a better number. First of all, that's a lot of diamonds to have in a ring, okay? But 613, not 608, not 617, not 542, 613. And why is that significant? Obviously, because there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. No way. Is that a coincidence? I think not. Okay, so let's just drill down a little bit over here in this ring and the symbolism of the ring, because there's a lot of symbolism that goes in to these rings, and each Super Bowl ring gets more and more symbolism. Okay, so it has 613 diamonds, 609 round diamonds, and 4 marquee diamonds. It also has, in addition, 35 rubies, totaling 16.1 carats. Now, I don't know if that means the whole, I assume the whole ring is 16.1 carats. All right, now, but listen to how they drill down. It's like so exciting. Okay, team's logo was 16 rubies, representing the number of division titles for the franchise. 50 diamonds on the Arrowhead portion of team's logo, representing the 50th anniversary of Arrowhead Stadium. Pretty cool. 50 diamonds on the Arrowhead. Okay, you got it. 3 Lombardi trophies, each set with a marquee diamond at the top, representing the team's third Super Bowl championship. And it goes on and on and on. 16 baguette diamonds at the base, representing 16 players who scored a touchdown in the 2022 regular season. And a red backdrop created from 19 rubies and 38 diamonds. The Chiefs scored 38 points in Super Bowl, which was the 57th. All right, so they add up, and it just goes on and on and on, and the player's name and the whole thing, and etc. Chiefs president Mark Donovan said that, quote, winning a Super Bowl is the crowning achievement for an NFL club, and the championship ring is the ultimate symbol of the hard work, dedication, and sacrifice that it takes from everyone in the organization to reach this pinnacle. All right. So this is fascinating. 613 diamonds. Now, just when you think that the story could not get crazier, it was on a Thursday night that I saw this article, and that next Torah portion, that Shabbos, this past Shabbos that just passed, was Parshas Shelach. Parshas Shelach talks about the, oh my goodness, the tumultuous journey of the 12 spies going into the land of Israel to check it out. Unfortunately, they misused their sight. They misused their tour to come back with a negative report as opposed to a positive report. And they deflated the entire morale of the Jewish people. They came back and gave a slanderous report. Two of the spies came back with a positive report. They didn't listen to them. And they caused the Jewish people to cry that entire night. That is the very first Tisha B'Av, the very first day, fast day, where both temples are destroyed and tremendous calamities happen. And those have been listening in recent weeks, as well as the expulsion from Spain many few thousand years later. But it is the very terrible, difficult day. It all started from the spies' bad report. At the end of the Torah portion, God gives us a mitzvah of tzitzis. The mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, those are, for those of you wondering, the little mop hanging out of the pants, the strings hanging out of the pants of an Orthodox Jewish man or even little boy, right? And they are strings to remind us of doing the mitzvahs. Now, Rashi on the spot says that what are the tzitzis there to remind us of the mitzvahs? How? Because we've spoken before about gematria. Gematria is the numerical equivalent of each letter in the aleph base having a numerical equivalent. So let's run through the show here. Aleph is 1. Base has a numerical equivalent of 2, and so on. So what is the numerical equivalent of tzitzis? Well, if you use 2 yuds, you end up with 600. 600. Now, okay, we're getting close. Rashi says, but you add the 5 knots. On each strand of the tzitzis, there are 5 knots and 8 strings. So if you do the advanced calculus, you get 600 plus 5 plus 8, and that is 613. And we're supposed to look at it, use our vision to look at the tzitzis to remind us of our life mission, of what we are here on planet Earth to do, which is to do the mitzvahs to serve Hashem. Okay? And those are the strings. Just like, you know, you wrap a little string around a little child's finger to remind them what to do. This is our string around the finger. All right. So now, too many coincidences over here. What are the lessons that we can derive from this 613 diamond ring and this 613 mitzvahs happening all at the same time? Mind-blowing emoji. Here we go. Fasten your seatbelts. The first lesson I think that we can derive over here is a fundamental question of what has eternal value? What lasts forever? And in fact, I remember the very famous slogan or jingle for a diamond company, a ring company that I am sure someone will remind me of in their feedback this week because it escapes me right now. But it says that diamonds are forever. diamonds are forever, right? That, right? If you're a good husband, you get your wife a diamond, or you're for anniversaries, because diamonds are forever. And that brings up a good question. What really does last forever? And that brings us to sports, believe it or not. Sports, and we have mentioned this briefly before, but sports is all about nitzachon, is about a victory. A victory in Hebrew is called nitzachon, a victory. But it's fascinating because the root of nitzachon is the Hebrew word netzach, which means forever. So what is going on here? Now, to understand this and the human condition, and by the way, sports and competitions have always been part of basically every culture since the dawn of humanity. Why? There's something fundamentally hard-drived in our being about sports. What is the drive to be involved in them, aside from obviously the physical activity of it? So Adam and Chava, Chava was, we call Eve, her Hebrew name was Chava, they sinned in the Garden of Eden. And as a punishment for their sin, they brought the death process into being. In other words, if they wouldn't have sinned, they would have lasted forever. They would have lived forever. They introduced the death concept into the world, into humanity. And ever since then, the human race has been trying to overcome that curse, to overcome that reality, to live forever, to overcome that original decree of death. And therefore, that's what makes victory so sweet, is because a victory is not a physical pleasure. It's not you're eating a steak. It's not you're sleeping in. It's not any of the other physical pleasures. It's a spiritual pleasure because I can live forever. I have a legacy. My legacy as a champion will live on forever. And what about a fan? Why do fans go mashuga over this stuff, right? Myself included, sometimes. But what is it about a fan? Because a fan identifies with the team. A fan says, I am there, my agents of eternity. These players in the field, they are going, I'm going to give them my allegiance. I'm going to give them my money. I'm going to give them my time. I'm going to give them my emotional reality. And for most fans in the NFL this year, except for one team, it was a bad bet. It was disappointing, but for one team, it was ever so sweet, for the Kansas City Chiefs fans. Why? Because they joined in a piece of eternity, because I joined this team, identifying with them, I too can grab a piece of eternity. Now, what does Torah have to say about this? It's an amazing thing. What are we doing on this planet Earth? We are put here on planet Earth to be able to earn our greatness, via doing Torah and mitzvahs. A mitzvah is called tzav, which means to connect to Hashem when we involve ourselves in these activities. We gain eternal reward in the next world. So when we do a mitzvah, we have obviously, the satisfaction of feeling that I'm living a meaningful, purposeful life. But in addition to that, I gain eternity. I gain eternal connection in the next world that will go on and on and on, much longer than a diamond will ever last. Physicality ends after this world. But our neshama, our soul, it lives on forever. And depending on how well we do mitzvahs, on both Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, both the interpersonal mitzvahs, the nice guy mitzvahs, not talking evil of other people, even if it's true, helping the old lady across the street, thinking about other people need, not embarrassing others, etc. That's one category of mitzvahs, but also the Bein Adam L'Mako mitzvahs, the ritual mitzvahs, the prayer, keeping kosher, keeping Shabbos, not mixing milk and meat, etc. My closest to God is determined. My eternity is determined by my performance on the field of this world. My spot and seat in the stadium for all of eternity is fixed by my performance on the field of ethical and moral performance. So what else impacts our eternity? Well, let's go straight to the chase. Children and grandchildren. How did we raise our children? What trajectory did we launch them? What did I show them that was truly valuable? Do we show them that it's diamonds, 613 diamonds? You know, hey, listen, they're fun to wear. They can be beautiful if they're given in the right way and they're given with love to another person. That's great. But is the end goal of life to be focused on physicality and on materialism, to wear fine things in this world? But no, that's our job as parents and as grandparents and as teachers and as citizens of the Jewish people is to put our focus as Jews on the 613 spiritual diamonds that truly create our eternity. And that is our challenge in this world, is not to get hoodwinked, to get sidetracked by the flashy diamonds of this world, but to keep our eye on the prize of the true spiritual diamonds that are available to us at every moment. The Vilna Gaon, a great rabbi, probably the greatest rabbi of the last 300 years, say, was crying on his deathbed, and his students are like, "Rabbi, you're amazing. You did so much in your life, and you learned so much Torah, and you did so many good deeds. Why are you crying? Your portion in the next world surely will be amazing and huge." And he looked at them and he said, "Whatever I gain in this world, that will be fixed." He says, "Because as soon as I leave this world, I can't do any more." And therefore, even the Vilna Gaon at the end of his life was still trying to get the last bit of mitzvahs that he can. But don't worry, because again, his impact was wide and large. And that is our goal as well, to do as many mitzvahs as we can in this world and to leave a real legacy of wonderful Jewish people behind us who will continue in that vein. Now, I want to get to, in the remaining 3 minutes, the tabas, the ring. What's the significance of a ring? It's unbelievable. I did a little research that when Joseph in the book of Genesis became the king, basically, of Egypt, Pharaoh removed his ring from his finger and gave it to Yosef. Incredible. And in Esther, the Megillus Esther, the book of Esther, for the Purim story, there were two different times where King Ahasuerus handed over his ring to someone. The first time was in chapter 3, verse 10, when he handed over to Haman, to make evil decrees against the Jewish people. But at the end of the story, it was given, Ahasuerus gave it over to Mordechai in chapter 8, verse 2. That Mordechai could decree that the Jewish people would defend themselves from the original decree. Now, what is a ring? A ring is called a taba'at. Taba'at comes from the word teva. Teva means nature, fixed. There are laws of nature. Gravity always, if you drop a ball 100 times out of 100, it's going to fall because it's teva, it's fixed. We call nes, and nes, vayanas, means to run or to flee. A miracle means that it's not bound by the fixed laws of nature. And the natural world says might makes right, but we Jews use our ring to reflect the reality beyond teva, beyond that we're not bound by the simple laws of nature. Haman wanted to destroy us. He wanted to contain us within the natural laws. And Mordechai then took the ring and says, "No, this ring, I'm going to decree the Jewish people are beyond natural laws of history." As a student of history at Stanford University, none of the professors asked the most obvious question about Jewish history. How are we still here? Why are we still alive? Because Jewish history does not follow the regular laws of history. Because we don't make sense. We were rich and we were poor. We were oppressed. We were scattered. We were despised. And yet, despite it all, we rose above. We rose above the laws of nature. That's what a ring symbolizes. Am I going to lock myself into the laws of nature, or am I going to transcend and live a truly blessed and elevated life? And when I'm with the Almighty, He can elevate me to any level. And therefore, The questions I'd like to leave you with this week are the following. What is your eternity? What do you value? Is it the diamonds of this world, or is it the diamonds of eternity, of purpose, of ultimate moral reality? And we do wish a Mazel Tov to the Kansas City Chiefs, but let it be a springboard for us to think about what diamond is really forever. Is it really just a diamond, or is it the diamonds that we collect by doing good deeds throughout our lives? And finally, imagine the power of the ring. How do we use our influence? What do we stamp our decrees for? What do we do with our influence to others to elevate them, or God forbid, the opposite? I want to wish everyone, God bless, a fantastic week. And we look forward to seeing you right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.